Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, asking your Spirit to fall upon this place, Father, in great conviction, in great power, by the power of your word, the power of your gospel, the power of your Holy Spirit, and the power of prayer today, Lord. Come, Lord, and minister to our hearts. Encourage us, teach us, O Lord, that we may know how to face this new culture that we're in. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to 1 John. Or no, John chapter 8, rather. John chapter 8, if you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. Slide 1. Today we're going to be talking about the success of Satan. Now, if you're new here today, realize that this is not a satanic church. We're not glorifying Satan, but we must acknowledge and be aware of his devices. And we're going to be talking about the success of Satan in this culture. And for you who are Christians, you need to understand a little bit about where culture's gone and how best to minister to it. You see, if you don't know what's going on in culture, you'll be attacking it with old means. And we need to realize what's going on in culture. So we're going to be talking about the success of Satan and really of his lies. Because Satan is a liar and a murderer, Jesus said. But we can sit around and look around in the world and we see havoc in the world right now. We see anarchy in the streets. We see economic depression. We see hopelessness. But there is an answer to these things, and the answer is Jesus. It's simple as that. Whatever the question is, the answer is Jesus. Well, we're going to be looking at what Jesus said about Satan. We're going to look at some of his victories he's had in recent history. And we're going to talk about these so we're not unaware of his devices. Now, immediately, as soon as we talk about Satan, there's people sitting in the audience, even people who are Christian, who do not believe that Satan exists. Realize that. Do you realize that? There's a high percentage of Christians that don't believe this. Well, the Bible's absolutely clear that Satan exists and is alive and well on planet Earth. And, you know, I knew Satan existed before I believed in God. Before I came to God, I saw the effects of evil and Satan in my life and the havoc that was being played. And I believed in Satan before I believed in God. I used to even try to communicate with Satan, even try to make a deal with him. Fortunately, God had my name written down somewhere, and he wouldn't allow it. I didn't know that at the time. There's a saying that says the greatest trick that Satan ever pulled was to convince the world that he did not exist. The greatest trick that Satan ever pulled was to convince the world that he did not exist. You see, and that was quoted in a movie called The Usual Suspects. Might be where you heard it from. You think I'm quoting a movie. But actually, the quote came from a poet in France called Charles-Pierre Baudelaire in February of 1864. And it became popular by the film The Usual Suspects, about a criminal who made himself like he was not existing. But that's what Satan wants you to believe. He has all kinds of schemes. He wants you to overemphasize him or underemphasize him. Either one. And today we're not glorifying Satan. We're not lifting him up. But the Bible says not to be unaware of his schemes. So we want to talk about some of those, and so that you're aware of what's going on. See, and our culture is changed right under our nose, and we don't know it. We don't realize that we're hearing it, but we're not realizing it's a cultural shift. It's a dynamic, and the thinking of people today has changed. And we're going to talk about that so you can become aware of it and start watching for it and start thinking about how to combat it. You see, this has happened. It's seemingly so subtle, this change in thinking. Now, guys, please listen. If you're a Christian here today, please understand that you need to wake up. You need to wake up physically today and spiritually and hear what I'm trying to say to you. Because we need to know how to combat culture. For one, let me get it to real personal. You've got children or grandchildren, or someday you will. And if you don't have children and you're single, you go to schools and colleges where you're going to hear this very same thing, and you're not going to know how to identify it because it's so accepted in culture today that you won't. It becomes part of culture. It becomes what's true and real rather than what's false. You see, in culture today, Satan has promoted his lies to the point it's become accepted as norm, and we even hear it and accept it, and it sounds good. That's why it's palatable. Satan gives us lies, and they sound good. Well, we're going to talk about two things today: Satan's lies and Christ's ultimate victory. Slide 2. Now, 2 Corinthians 2:11, I've already said it, says, "Do not be ignorant of his devices, his lies." The success of Satan is his lies. That's it. And so we're going to be talking about that. What does he do? Well, he attacks truth. Yes, there is truth today. And he causes doubt, which is what Jeff was alluding to today also. He causes doubt in your life. He causes fear. He causes anxiety. He causes you to, what if? What if God doesn't come through? What if he's not sovereignly in control? It causes, his attacks cause discouragement, distraction, and ultimately destruction. He's also the author of confusion. Whenever there's confusion going on in great measure, always know Satan's a part of it. He's because he brings confusion. So we need to realize this. In John 8, chapter 8, verse 43, Jesus was talking to some religious people, and then he's telling them this. He describes Satan. This is Jesus' words. He said in John 8, 43 through 45, he called Satan a liar and a murderer. A liar and a murderer. Satan is the father of lies, he says. In verse 47, it says, He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So today, we just pray that the power of the Holy Spirit today would illuminate the word of God that you might hear. Because if you're not of God today, the Holy Spirit can illuminate it to you if you open your heart. Are you willing to listen? Maybe you're like Phil, you're tired of the world, and you've came in, and you realize life is empty, and you're looking for something else, and you don't know what it is, but the answer is Jesus, my friend, and I guarantee you it. Whatever you come in looking for, the answer is Jesus, because Jesus satisfies. He is the sufficiency of all things. We're going to be looking at that in Colossians coming up in September. End of September, we'll begin the book of Colossians, the sufficiency of Christ. You see, there's power in the Word of God to transform, and there's power in the gospel, and today you're going to hear all that. So if you're here today wondering, having doubts, listen and say, God, if you're real, will you reveal yourself to me? Because God will, because he's looking to reveal himself to whoever will open themselves to God. See, Jesus believed in truth here because he said Satan is a liar, so there is truth. But today, one of the problems we have is people are saying there's no truth. Truth is relative. And that's a big problem we want to look at in just a moment and describe the progression toward it. You know, people say that truth is relative, and so there is no truth. The question is that true? You see? Is truth relative? Well, is that true? Well, if there is no truth, do you see the confusion that Satan's caused? If there is no truth, was that true? Well, we don't even know that, because if there's no truth, but there is truth. Jesus said there was truth right here. He said, if you hear my words, you're of me, and if you're not, you're not of God. Because he illuminates the words to whom he knows is ready. And maybe you're here today, not by any chance. You're here today for a specific purpose. God wants to speak to you. Everybody, Christian, non-Christian, lukewarm, on fire, God wants to speak to you. He always wants to speak to his children. He always wants to guide his children. He always wants to teach you and take you further in your life. So Romans 3 says, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. You see, people are saying there is no truth. So if you think of it, go home and meditate on that. What confusion that's going to cause in the world if there is no truth. What confusion, what kind of destruction that's going to cause. And I'm going to give you some examples of what, if there is no truth, what can happen. Let's look at some of Satan's lies and his tactics and how he's used things in the past and how he's had such a victory in this culture. Let's look at some of these. But first of all, remember that he's like a lion looking for somebody to devour. He wants to destroy your life. That's Satan's ultimate goal, to destroy you, to, if you're a Christian, to nullify your witness, to discourage you and make you unable to move on. You see, so if you're discouraged today and you're a Christian, or if you're in fear or doubt, like Jeff was saying, God doesn't want you there. It's not God's will for your life. He wants to take you from fear to security, from quicksand to a rock. He wants you to go to faith in him and trust in an all-sufficient Savior who is all-powerful, all-knowing for you and loves you more than anybody has, can, or ever will. Can you believe that? You know, so many people, young people, are looking for that perfect mate. Oh, if I could just get married, everything would be great. You know what? Nobody has ever going to love you as much as Christ loves you. Nobody can, because he loves you perfectly. That's good news for all you singles today, that God loves you and you're married to him actually ultimately anyway. So love him first. Put him first in your life. Let's look at some of the things. Okay, he attacks truth. That's what Satan does today. And I think he's had a great victory and lots of success in doing this. And I want to bring out some of it. He's always coming against the Bible. You know, many books of the Bible were written to actually combat false teachings. And he's behind them all because he wants to pull you away from truth, because in truth there's power. In truth you're set free. Jesus said the truth shall set you free. You see, when you hang on to Jesus, when you hang on to his word, you have power and you have strength and you have hope. There's hope in his word, as we looked at in Romans. There's freedom in his word if you look to it, if you believe it. And then when you don't believe, say, God, help me with my unbelief. You know, for centuries, Satan has attacked the church. The first few centuries, he attacked the church wildly. And some say the church, this is like a saying about evaluating what he did. He attacked the church for the first few centuries, and it didn't work. Instead, the church grew stronger under persecution. So he looked and he reorganized himself, and instead he joined the church and attacked from the inside. And that's just a summation of what he's been trying to do. And he attacks truth from the inside. He brings division on the inside. He brings syncretism, and he brings in all kinds of things to separate from the truth. He brings in things so that you're not fully in what he wants for you. He has an abundant life for you. But you got to seek after what he wants in your life. He has something better than you've got planned. Do you realize that? That's good news too. Well, slide 3. Let's look at some recent history real quick. And in the late 1800s in this country came about wise theologians came up with something, and they called it higher criticism, or they called it the age of enlightenment. They called it postmodern era. It's more like darkness and stupidity came over a few men and it spread. In that era, people started questioning the Bible, and is certain parts of it true? And I don't know how they come to these conclusions and how anybody could come to the conclusion what is and what isn't. But I tell you this, I believe every dot and tittle. I believe what Jesus said, every dot and tittle will not pass away. Not a crossing of the T or a dotting of the I will pass away, because his word is eternal. It's inerrant and infallible, and you can trust it. And see, so, but in the late 1800s, in this age of enlightenment, in this higher criticism era, great and thinking men came up with a stupid idea and it spread. And today it still exists in great measure in this country and all across the world, especially the West. In great measure, there's churches who don't believe in the inerrant, infallible word of God. I say, what for? What for do you exist? If you can't hang on to God's word, what are you hanging on to? You see, they believe and started higher criticism, and you know what? It exists today. It's called liberalism in churches. And I don't know, that's why the church has lost its power. They remove the things that have power in thinking that they're wise, or in thinking that it'll draw more people to be saved. Well, you remove the very power that saves, the gospel, and people aren't going to be saved. You'll have apostates. You have people believing, coming in and supposedly believing, but not believing the true gospel unto faith, unto salvation. And you'll have people come in for the wrong reasons and not hear the word of God, and they won't grow, they won't be challenged, and they'll sit there and they'll be ineffective as a church. And that's what's happened. The very fact of why we have an ineffective church in this country is you remove the things of power. And it started in the late 1800s, and Satan is the author of this. He's coming around to give in leading these men to remove truth, to remove the gospel, remove the very things of power, because he knows they have power. Well, you know, the Bible has actually never been proven false, historically, scientifically, archaeologically, prophetically. As a matter of fact, the more science is proved, the more it just proves the Bible. So that's just amazing that science and technology just grow and it doesn't come against it. It just proves the Bible more. Archaeology came and it just further proved the Bible. Matter of fact, they used to always criticize things in the Bible like Pilate. Well, Pilate didn't really exist. It only says it in the Bible. There's no historical record. Well, so for years, this is what they were spouting. And so for years, many people sucked in and believed that lie. Oh, yeah, Pilate must not have existed because the Bible's wrong. Anytime somebody says the Bible's wrong, you can bet 100% they're wrong. The Bible's never been found wrong. Oh, yes, they've accused the Bible of wrong. You can go on the Discovery Channel and hear all the time how, oh, we found something that contradicts the Bible. They never come back out and say, oops, we found out it was wrong. The Bible's never been proven wrong. Historically, scientifically, prophetically. Now, some prophecies have taken years to happen. So you can look at them and go, oh, it only partially fulfilled that prophecy. Some prophecies have taken 100 years to fulfill because they're done in segments. But then as you look back, you see it was perfectly. And we're going to talk about this next week. We're going to talk about why you can trust the Bible. And if you're here today as a visitor, please come one more time at least. Come one more time to make a good evaluation whether you can trust God and whether you can trust the Bible. Well, Discovery Channel often comes against the Bible because it's a great thing to listen to. Oh, there's a contradiction from the Bible. Let's listen. Let's watch. They've never been right. See, men of God, thinking they know better than God, started questioning his word. Well, I'll tell you, they're on sinking sand when you start questioning God's word. Because it's never been proven wrong. You can say it has, but you got no proof. You've got no proof other than your opinion that's not validated in proof. You know, how can you know God apart from the Bible? You see? And that's the problem with today. People are trying to know God apart from the Word of God. They're trying to know God experientially only or through imaginations and feelings. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. The other thing that's been the attack is on the book of Genesis, the foundation of truth. And so people came in and started saying about evolution also in the late 1800s or somewhere around in there. And they started attacking the creation of the world and started coming up with a theory called evolution. And Satan's trying to erode the foundation of these things. And it's really brilliant, actually, because when you erode the foundation, he tries to replace it with something else. And that's exactly what happened. When you take away the foundation, when you take away foundational truth, Satan comes in and replaces it with something else and weakens the church. And that's exactly what's happened. In Genesis, we see all kind of foundational truths. We see how the world was created. How would we know otherwise? We wouldn't, would we? Only theory. But the Word of God tells us. Now, how can we trust the Word of God? Come next week and we'll tell you. You see, the Word of God tells us in Genesis that that's where we created. It tells us of our purpose was to know and have a relationship with God because it shows us what Adam and Eve did when things were right. They walked with God in the cool of the day. They had a relationship with God, our ultimate purpose. We also see that marriage is from the Bible, man and woman. We see that where sin came from. We see where the languages came from. We see prophecy there. We see that God flooded the earth as a judgment on people there. And we understand all these things and people are coming against them, all from the book of Genesis, all attacks of lies of Satan. You can trust the Word of God. You see, come out next week and we'll give you evidence, actually logical, physical evidence from science, archaeology, prophecy, all kind of things that you can believe the Bible is true. You can take every dot and tittle and hang on to it. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for a time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turned aside to fables. See, that's what's happening in our culture today. They're saying there is no truth. And I'm going to want you to go home and think about this. If there is no truth, go home and think about it. There's nothing true? Man. See, we talk about this evolution. You've been taught it in school, so it's even hard to reconcile. I remember after I got saved, I go, how did that work? We came from monkeys. Then I realized, shook my head and go, oh, that's right, we didn't come from monkeys. It was ingrained into me all in school. It's still in the books in the school about these different men, ape men and stuff, the transitional. Did you know they've all been proven false? They've been proven false. Let me tell you about some. The evidence they had that we came from monkeys, and you know, that's why do you think all our young people are acting like baboons? The people wonder what's wrong with the culture in Britain of young people acting up and drinking like there's no tomorrow and binge drinking going on, not with just guys now, with girls and sex, because they're looking for fulfillment in something. They're told they came from animals, so they're acting like animals. But see, you're not from an animal. You're created in the image of God for a purpose, to know him, to bring glory to him, and to bear fruit in his name. You have a purpose for living, and they're living with no purpose. You see, the answer is what? Jesus. Jesus brings purpose and meaning to life, you see. Well, slide 4. Oh, we're already there. Praise God. Listen, here's some of the missing links they brought out. And see, it only confirmed in the late 1800s. They said, oh, evolution is how we came about. The Bible's wrong. We, you know, it's missing something. I'm a smart man. I'm a scientist. I'm a theologian. Let me tell you what's really true. Well, you know what? You need to rebuke anybody that comes to you and telling you that the Bible's wrong because it's never been proven wrong. And for years, these things stood because smart men came and told you something other than the Word of God and you believed it because they were smart men. I'm going to trust somebody who created the mind. I'm going to trust somebody who loves me, and that's God. I'm going to trust his word because he told me to. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what you need to do too. If you want to find God, if you want to learn fulfillment in life, because if you try and seek after another way, you're not going to find fulfillment. You might find something in what you're doing, but the ultimate satisfaction is found in Christ and Him alone. Let's look at some of these. So you know, and because you've probably been taught them in school, and they stood as truth for years, 50 years, some of them, and they're still standing as truth in your schools today because they haven't took them out of the books. Because they're still hanging on to this old dead theory that's been proven wrong because they got nothing else to replace it. Because they don't want to believe in God. Why? Because if there is a God, you must submit to God. And they don't want to submit to God. They want them to be Lord. They want to be like Satan. I will ascend. I will be God. I will be in control of my life. And that's why people reject God. They want to be in control of their life. They want to do what they do with nobody telling them what to do. Let me tell you what God's told you to do is life. There is life in His name. And you're missing that. Today, if you can just hang on with me and believe that for a second, there's life in Jesus' name. Following Him is life. It's exciting following Jesus. But look at some of these lies Satan's had such a victory in. In 1912, Piltdown Man, estimated to be 300,000 to 1 million years old, was discovered to be a fraud in 1953. It stood for what, almost over a little over, was that 41 years? 41 years it stood as truth. That, see, there is a transitional fossil here that we came from apes. And people were buying it and believing it. And they go, oh my gosh, we got to integrate this somehow into the Bible. The Bible's missing something. We got to now make it theistic evolution. We got to believe that God created through evolution. No, God did not create through evolution. He created with a word because God is powerful. Out of a word, He can do this. Out of nothing, He can create because He came. He can do anything. God is amazing. Now look at that. But then they found out this was a fraud, right? So they have it was actually a 600-year-old woman and a skull of a 600-year-old woman and the skull of a 500-year-old orangutan from East Indies. And this is stated in Our Times, that illustrated the history of the 20th century. Then there's Nebraska man was built from one tooth, which was later to be found a tooth of an extinct pig. Instead of a transitional fossil from man, from ape to man, it was actually the tooth of an extinct pig. Can you imagine they're finding one tooth and hanging on to this shred of evidence? Oh, there is no God. There is no God. We came from apes. They're hanging on by a thread. Do you see it? Do you see that you are, if you're believing these things, you're hanging on by a thread to some false theory when there's a God who loves you. There's a God who's offering you hope. Then there's Java man found in the early 20th century. And it's nothing more than a skull fragment, a fragment of a thigh bone and three molar teeth, and the rest is from a deeply imaginative plaster of Paris worker. They put it together. Can you imagine looking at this and all the oohs and the ahs of the people? Oh, wow, look, there's a trend. We did come from apes. Oh, my gosh, the Bible's wrong. Let's leave the Bible. Let's go look for something else. And that's what's happened, people. You've departed from the Word of God. And without the Word, people perish, you see. There's no hope, you see. So they looked at this plaster of Paris is really what it was, a few little bone fragments made with plaster of Paris, and they made this thing look like a transitional ape man. A lie. They're lied to you. They're lying to you, and you won't believe God because you want to be your own Lord. Were you willing to come to Him today and say, Lord, You are Lord. You alone are Lord. I'm going to believe in You. I'm going to trust You because You love me and You have a plan for my life. You have a desire to show me great things. Can you believe that? There's a God who created you in His image. You think He wants to destroy you? You think He wants to ruin your life? No, He wants to bless you. Look at what He showed us in the garden. It was walked in the cool of the day. He wants to put you in paradise, a place where there's no sin, no thorns, nothing. But man sinned in the garden. It caused thorns and worked by the sweat of your brow, and we lost that relationship with God, but He's offering it back to you today through Jesus Christ. He's offering that relationship through Jesus Christ today. God wants you to know Him and have a relationship with Him. He wants you to know His love for Him, for you today. Look at these other ones. Heidelberg man was just a jawbone, a large chin, and a few teeth. Neanderthal man was found to be proved by a zoologist that was just a person with an old man with arthritis, but they were saying it was a transitional fossil. See, the transitional evidence is false. There is none. So if we came from something, if we evolved, the rock layers would show it. But there are no rock layers that show it. There are none. Zero shred of evidence. Any shred they come up with on the news, oh, we found a transitional fossil, it'll be proven wrong in time. It always is. So you can trust the Word of God. Come out next week and find out more reasons why there's logical proof to trust the Word of God. Well, See, Satan attacks truth. He's had a lot of victory in the last 100 and something years, hadn't he? He's got the church to believe that there's evolution. So we got to somehow incorporate this into the Bible. We've got to add to the Bible. No, you don't. You've got enough right here. God's given you enough right here. Everything you need for life and godliness, he offers you. You see, this attack on the Bible is trying to get rid of Genesis because it's foundational to where we came from, to what we're to be like. It's the things about marriage, that the very things that are in culture today. You see why we talk about we have relevant Bible studies today? Today they're trying to make pass same-sex marriages, yet the Bible says that God put man and woman together. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It's the very thing that is in the news today. The Bible is relevant. God made marriage for a man and a woman for life. That's what he made. That's what God did, and that's the blessed way. Well, see, Satan attacks truth, and he's had a lot of success in the last 100 years in this country, and you've departed from the Word of God, and I'm calling you back. I'm calling you back to open your Bibles, to read and believe the Word of God, because it'll set you free, it'll bring you hope, it'll give you light. Are you ready? Do you need it? Do you think you come here, and you're like Phil, you realize life is empty, and what you've been seeking is in vain? Jesus is the answer, whatever the question is. It says, in the end time, scoffers will come. 2 Peter 3:3 says, knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. It says in the end, people will come against the word of God. People will come against things in like Genesis and will say, oh, the flood, it didn't really, they willfully forget, it says here. Very interesting point. It says they willfully forget. Why? Because they don't want to believe in God. That's why they're willing to hang on to a tooth of a pig to believe there is no God. You see, are you willing to hang on to anything? Are you willing to believe a lie? You're being lied to. You're being lied to. You've got to realize that and say, wow, God, there is a God. He's real. He wants to make a difference in my life. See, they willfully forget. Why? Because they're willing to hang on to anything to not have God in their life as Lord. Jesus is Lord, whether you acknowledge him or not. Someday, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow that Jesus is Lord. Whether you want to believe it or not, Jesus is Lord. That means he's master and ruler over all. Would you let him be your master? Would you come and say, God, you're infinitely wise. You're loving. You're all-knowing, all-powerful, and I want to be on your side. Or you can hang on to a little pig of a tooth, and hope that evolution's right by the tooth of a pig that's extinct. Is that what you want to hang on to? Well, there's evidence for God, and there's that he's real, and we're going to talk more about that from next week. But Jesus believed in Genesis. Jesus believed in the flood. He said, for so it was in the days of Noah, so it will be coming to the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage until that day when Noah entered the ark. Jesus said that. Those are Jesus' words. Jesus believed in Genesis. Jesus believed in Noah. Jesus believed there was a flood. Jesus believed that God judged the world because they rejected him. He offered anybody that wanted to come into the ark, and only 8 came. Jesus believed it. Is he a liar? Maybe he's a liar. Well, let's find out next week. You see, he believed in Genesis, yet that's what Satan's line. He's trying to erode the book of Genesis because there's foundational truth there. Matthew 24:44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You see, just like in Noah's day, when God told Noah, get on the ark, it's time, the flood's coming. And that's what God's saying today. There's a coming time coming when Jesus is coming again. And he said, get on the ark, and only 8 got on the ark. And he flooded the earth and they all perished because the world became so wicked. Do you see the world is wicked today? Do you realize there's a Satan? Man, I knew that before I knew there was a God. I could see evidence of evil everywhere. I could easily believe that. Jesus also referred to Abraham, and he referred to all kinds of things in Genesis. So Jesus believed Genesis is true, and he believed it to be the word of God. Jesus said, if you don't believe Moses, how are you going to believe me? See, he believed that every dot and tittle will not pass away, that it's his word, and we need to hang on to it. It's God's instruction manual for life. It's to explain who he is and what he's like and what we're to live like, what man is like, what's coming in the future so we can have hope. See, God is good, you see, because he wants you to have hope. And in this world, there's hopelessness like crazy right now. Slide 5. Here's what's going on. Now, here's what you need to realize. There's two worldviews in conflict. Relativism and absolute truth. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. You see, he's lying to you, and you're believing it because you're willing to hang on to anything as long as you can remain Lord of your life. And that's the problem. But see, the good news is that God wants to give you an abundant life, and you've been lied to that that's what he'll take away. God wants to give you an abundant life. But see, you're believing a lie that if you believe in Christ, he takes away your life. No, he gives life. He's the giver of life. He created you in his image. He created you that you would have an abundant life, that you would live with purpose and meaning, which no other religion offers. No other philosophy, no other any idea offers you the hope that Jesus offers. And he proved it by rising from the dead. He proved it. Rabbi Zacharias said this about truth. He said, we must come to the conclusion that truth does matter, especially when you are on the receiving end of a lie. Are you willing to believe the truth today? Are you willing to listen and open your mind up and say, well, listen to this idiot, at least for today and next week, and make your decision. Make your decision. You're either for God or you're against him. There's no middle ground. You see, to be undecided is to be decided. You're either for Jesus or against him. That's what Jesus said. There is no middle ground. There is no I'm neutral. You've got to decide for Christ today. That's what Jeff was alluding to earlier. You might be in fear and doubt, but Jesus wants to bring you from fear to security, from quicksand to a rock. So what's happened in our culture that we don't realize has happened under our nose, and some of you who have been born into this know no other thing. But some of us who've lived longer, we've seen the change. We're hearing this, and we don't understand why they're saying such a thing. And it sounds good, but it's not true. It sounds good, but it's not true. Aren't lies usually believable? You see, lies are usually made to be believable, aren't they? Satan's good at it. He's the father of lies, Jesus said. But see, that's how you believe it, because it sounds good. And I'm going to tell you some of these, and they do sound good. I admit, they sounds right. But when you evaluate it logically, it's not. So what's happened is secularization. This is a process which Satan removed from society, religious beliefs and ideas from institutions, and the interpretations of the Word of God and what is right were removed from society long enough that people started replacing it with something else. And so this is the beginning of the great apostasy. This is the beginning of removing truth, because if there is no truth, then you can't be set free. If there is no truth, you create truth. You become God yourself. You create yourself a God in your own image, which the Bible says not to do. And you become God just like Satan said he would do. See, what happens when you remove the religious ideas from the institutions and the interpretations of the Word of God from our social sphere, what's happened now is you notice in the news and in sitcoms and things that if you're religiously minded, you're presumed to be prejudiced. And if you're irreligiously minded, you're presumed to be objective. Well, come out next week and we'll show you some objective truth to help you to hang on and to believe, and that you can have something to fight with that is solid proof and evidence. You know, when the Bible predicts a great persecution coming, what's no wonder, because everybody is looking at religious people as prejudiced. And if you're not religious, you're considered very objective. Well, you're willing to believe anything, in other words. This is exactly what happens when you remove truth from society. You who believe in truth will be considered bigots and condemning people, and will consider yourself to be prejudiced. And that's why the whole world, the Bible tells us in Revelation, will turn against you and be willing to kill you, be willing to wipe you off the face of the earth in genocide, because you are a truth bearer. You are someone who believes in truth, so you're prejudiced. They'll be tolerant of everything, but they won't be tolerant of Jesus Christ and Christianity, because Jesus said he's the only way. And there is no other way to heaven except through him. So they say that's an intolerant belief. Well, that's Jesus who said it, and I'm going to stand by it. If you can stand by Jesus, you can stand by his words. Well, today, if you're a Christian, you'll be thought of as intolerant. And it's only going to get worse. Right now, it's not so bad, but it's only going to get worse, because you're saying that Jesus is the only way. It's a popular mantra today that all roads lead to one God, and it's false. It's a false statement, but it sure sounds good, and it's being believed in great measure right now. All roads lead to one God. It's not true. It's not true. Sounds good, though, doesn't it? Well, the word God's in it, so in God, God's different in different cultures. No, there is one God. He's the same God to all cultures. As a matter of fact, he's made his way all the way around the world, and he says, I will not let one tribe, not one tongue go without hearing about me, because God is good. So secularization has happened, and it's made us have no point of reference because we remove truth from society. So then society is looking for something. And so then we end up with what's called relativism. That means we have no reason. We believe with no reason, no logic. Now, don't let this be over your head. This is just, and you're going to hear it. When you start understanding it, you'll start hearing people say, why believe it? Why do you believe it? Oh, just because I believe it. I believe it because I believe it. Why do you believe it? Because I believe it. That's not good enough. You can believe in anything you want and say that. You can believe you fly and say, I fly. Why do you believe it? Because I say I can fly. I believe I can fly. Well, fly then. Well, I don't want to. You see, you can believe anything you want when there's no truth, and that's where we're at right now. They've removed truth from society, and we now have relativism, where there is no truth and there's no logic. The Age of Enlightenment, this came about 100 years ago, when men removed Bible and saying, oh, the Bible's not all true. It's not all true. We looked at something else, and that's what's happened. We're replacing it with something else, and that's what's wrong with society. You see, we have this secularization that's led to relativism, that truth is relative to culture or to each person. Now listen, have you heard this? Raise your hands if you heard this. Well, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. How many has heard that? That's true for you, but it's not true for me. That's relativism, and it's not true. You see, and you got to realize that's where we're at in culture. That, well, I can believe what I believe, and it's true for me because I believe it. But doesn't mean it's true just because you believe it. You understand? There's proof. In truth, it's called logic. Yeah? Sometimes you take things by faith, but ultimately there's proof to prove what you believe in. And see, that's what's wrong with today is people are taking truth out. And I say, Satan has had a field day. He's trumped with this one. Pretty good move, Satan. But we still got that one move, don't we? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Never forget that, my friend, because that's the power of God to salvation, the gospel and the Word. It brings light to men. It brings hope to men. And that's what he promises with it. You see, what's true for you is not necessarily true for me. Is that true? It sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds good, doesn't it? Face it, it does. That sounds pretty good. But it's not true. See, a truth is believable. A lie is believable. If relativism played out as true, then think about this. If what's true for you is true and not necessarily true for me, and I can believe whatever I want is truth, here's how it can play out. You got to think about this. You need to go away and meditate it on yourself. But that means Hitler was okay in what he did, because if Hitler believed that the Jews and certain races should be wiped out, then Hitler was right because it's true for Hitler. And a whole society followed him, didn't they? So this movement is not going to stop. The whole society may follow these things, and that means if it's true for Hitler, well, let Hitler do it. That means Pol Pot in Cambodia, who killed all the educated people. Well, that was okay because Pol Pot, you know, it was true for Pol Pot. I think that's his name. Am I saying that right? Is that his name? Well, so let me just bring this down real personal. I want your money. Just kidding. And I'm going to kill you to get it. And it's true for me. It's what works for me. Me killing everybody here with a machine gun and taking your few pennies and stuff. And I'm going to go to the next church next week. And I'm going to make my money by killing you because that's true for me. It's how I make my money. It works for me. It don't matter if it works for you because it's true for me. You see the idiocy, the ignorance of this? Be not ignorant of his schemes. You see, it sounds okay. Well, what's true for you is not true for me. What's true for another culture is not necessarily true for this culture. It's a lie. See, truth is truth and there are lies. But it's couched so well that we believe it. And see, that's when you start taking it logically, and that's what's missing in relativism is logic. When you take it logically, it doesn't play out. But on the little surface of your little world, it's, oh, that works for me. It's called pragmatism. It's because, well, it works for me. If it works, it doesn't make it right. Does that sound right? That don't even sound right, does it? But that's true. Just because it works doesn't mean it's right. You ever heard the saying that says, does the end justify the means? Does the end justify the means? Well, then now you're coming back to the culture of what it understood a while back. Does the end justify the means? Let's say, for instance, I'm a great guy in society. I'm going to give money to orphans. I'm going to go around. I'm going to help orphanages all over the world and become known for it. I'm going to be in the paper all the time, and people are going to be looking at me as, he's a great guy. That Clint, he's an awesome guy. He's always giving money to the poor and to orphans. Then later it comes out, I finally get busted. I actually got it from robbing banks. And I was really good at it for 10 years, and I was giving all this money, making it in the paper. Does the end justify the means? I helped all these orphans. I'm sure they're happy. But does the end justify the means? No, it doesn't. You see, truth is truth. And in every culture, truth is truth. Murder, lying is not accepted in cultures, is it? You see, we need to realize that God's word rings true in every culture and in our lives too. Jesus said, in John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You know, I heard, let's move on to syncretism. Syncretism is the merging of all different kinds of beliefs. So this is the thing. If there is no truth, well, I'm just going to pick and choose what I want to believe because, you know, I am Lord, I am God. I choose what I want to do because there is no Lord because I believe I am Lord. I'm all-knowing and I'm pretty smart and I'm whatever. So I'm going to believe, I want to add a little bit of this, a little bit of this, and I'm going to make my own religion. I like that about Christianity. I like that clapping bit about Christianity. I'm thinking I'm going to add that to my religion. I like yoga. I'm going to add yoga to my religion. We're going to have yoga and then we're going to clap. It's called syncretism. It's nothing really new. It happened in the first century. They started merging with Christianity. Idols and different things and idols, sex with idols and temples, and some of the Bible's talking about it. Some of the Bible's talking against it, you know. So you need to realize that God is wanting you to realize there is truth, not syncretism, not picking of your beliefs. Let me tell you about something from somebody from this church, a young person from this church has said, and young people, listen up. This is happening amongst you in the church. A young person said, I just want to feel Jesus. Anything wrong with that statement? I just want to feel Jesus. Anything wrong with that statement? Jesus is a person. I want to feel him. You might feel things associated with Jesus, but I just want to feel Jesus, not knowing him as a person. I just want to feel him. I don't want to know him. I just want to feel him. Very subjective. Very airy-fairy, isn't it? But it sounded okay. I just want to feel more of Jesus. He's a person. How do you feel him? You know? So anyway, we realize this is amongst us, is here, as people are believing this, and your children, your grandchildren, your schools are having this is the way they're thinking. It's in culture now. It's the mindset. Here's the thing. Everybody has a filter or a worldview in their mind. Everybody does, right? And so everything you hear, you run it through your filter, your worldview, your belief system. And if you believe there is no truth, then you immediately run to the filter of, well, that's maybe true for you, but it's not true for me. Here's my truth. And you don't hear truth. I say Trump, Satan's got a Trump here. Almost, except for one thing. There's power in the word. There's power in the gospel. There's power in the Holy Spirit. And there's power in prayer. Let us not forget these things. Well, so there's syncretism, the merging of all beliefs, a build-to-bear religion. It sets you up as God. Just like what Satan said, I will ascend to the Most High. I will rise. I will become God. It's exactly the same thing. It's called the New Age movement. It's saying, I will be God, just like Satan. So he's trying to get people on his team, you see. It's pragmatism multiplied. It's that if it works for you, it must be right. So all these things are happening. Satan's doing, he's coming as an angel of light, the Bible says. He's also the mean and gnarly devil, roaring, looking for whom he may devour. But he's also coming as an angel of light. So he comes and he makes you feel good. He's, you have something, I joined this new religion and it makes me feel good. Well, that doesn't mean it's right. But see, these demons are carrying you through this feel-good thing, and it makes me feel good, and they're giving you these feelings. But it doesn't mean it right, because the end doesn't justify the means, does it? Truth is truth, and there is truth. Bertrand Russell, a famous British atheist and philosopher who wrote Why I'm Not a Christian, said this about religion. He says, all religions cannot be true because they contradict themselves. That is logic, you see. Therefore, syncretism wouldn't work, would it? Even Bertrand Russell, a staunch atheist and philosopher, said that all religions can't be true. But that's the mantra of today, guys. And if this is boring to you, then you don't realize where you stand. You don't realize what's happening in culture to your children, to your grandchildren, in the schools. You don't realize that every time when you talk to somebody in the streets, they're running it through a filter. They're running it through a filter of their worldview. And you've got to break through the filter, and the power is in the truth, you see. But it's tricky. I'm telling you, it is tricky. Bertrand Russell even acknowledged, but see, here's that all religions can't be true, yet the mantra of today is all roads lead to one God. And that is believing, like that's like wildfire right now. That is the wildfire lie that's going around. All roads lead to one God. All roads lead to one God is not true. Even Bertrand Russell, a staunch atheist, realizes that because they contradict themselves, and God wouldn't contradict himself, would he? A God that you create in your own image might, but not the true God. Not an all-knowing, all-wise God. He wouldn't contradict himself because he's all-knowing. Well, this is important because you need to, if you want to tell people the truth, you need to understand they're running it through a filter. You need to be able to tell when they're running it through their filter. Jesus said this. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God. You see, the filter can break through, though, with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the gospel, and the power of the word, and the power of prayer. We can break through. There is hope. But we've got to realize the weapons we have, the tools we have are still the same. Satan's lies are still the same. They cause doubt, fear, disillusionment, confusion, all the same thing. And we still have the same truths that we can use. Satan causes doubt. He replaces truth with lies, half-truths that appeal to the lower nature, that sound good. You see, all roads lead to one God. That sounds very tolerant, very tolerant. And that's what we're being told. We need to be tolerant. Well, we need to be tolerant of beliefs like that. Well, is that true? Is it true? All roads lead to one God. Even Bertrand Russell says this can't be true. Well, Jesus said this. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that. So many religions, so many false religions are saying, oh, we believe in Jesus. We believe he's a great teacher, a nice prophet. We like the things Jesus said. Well, Jesus said that man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from God's mouth. Are you going to believe Jesus or not? Is he a liar? He rose from the dead. Does that tell anything? He's never been caught in a lie. He's never been caught in a scandal. Jesus is true. He's alive. And Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through the Son. All roads lead to one God, then Jesus is a liar. And this religion, all you hear are wasting your time. If Jesus is not the only way to heaven, then Jesus is a liar, a fraud. You see that? All roads lead to one God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except through the Son. You see, Jesus made a way. He went to the cross and he died for you in your place because sin separated us in that garden. Sin separated us from God. We sinned, Adam and Eve sinned, and it passed down to us, the sin nature, and we no longer have access to God. And Jesus made a way that we could have had access. Well, the thing is, do you believe Jesus is a liar? Can you believe Jesus today? You're not here by accident. It's a popular statement. All roads lead to one God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The very thing we fear, death, Jesus conquered. The very thing that plagues the world is sin, Jesus has victory over. You see, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And in this slide 6, the last thing, Christ's ultimate victory. Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. It was prophesied about in Genesis, actually. Genesis 3. Jesus defeated Satan at the cross, but we've got to believe God, not Satan's lies. You see the success of Satan he's had in the last 100 and something years? Somebody comes out, some smart man, some scientist or theologian comes out with something. Oh, well, he's, or 20 of them believe it, or 100, or 500, or 10,000. It doesn't matter if it contradicts the word of God. I'm going to go with God. No matter how many degrees they have, no matter how good it sounds, I'm going to trust the word of God. And I found him to be faithful. I found the word of God to be faithful. See, Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. 1 John 5:10 says, he who believes in the Son of God has this witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made God to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given his own Son. See, that's the call today. Would you believe that God gave his only Son to die in your place that you may live? Would you believe that? You say, wow, that's pretty heavy. That's right. That's the extent to which God has went to love you. He sent his only Son to die in your place that you may have life in his name, that you may be restored to relationship with God. You see, can you believe this testimony that God gave his only Son? That's called the gospel. That's called good news. It's good news for everybody here that whoever would believe, whoever would receive, to those who become children of God. And you'd have the hope of heaven and eternal life. You see, God's offering this to you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how you feel about yourself, no matter how low a self-esteem somebody told you you have, Jesus loves you. No matter what you've done in life, he takes whoever will come. You know, no wise cast you out. I wear a cross with 3 crosses on it because he saves murderers and thieves. Have you done anything worse than that? He'll take anybody to come to him. He forgives sin. That's what he does, and that's what's on offer here today. Beside Mexican food, there's also forgiveness of sins. There's Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, if I'll be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself, and you're not here by chance. You're here for a purpose to hear these words. Maybe you're ready to receive Jesus now. Maybe you want to go away and think about it. It doesn't matter. You've heard the truth that Jesus wants to set you free. Would you reach out to him? Would you believe? Could you do that? Or are you going to not believe the testimony of God that God sent his only Son to die in your place? But Jesus isn't dead. He rose from the dead because he has victory over sin and he has victory over death. Do you understand that? And that's what he's offering you today is victory. See, you're bound by your sin. You're a slave to your sin. You're doing the things you don't want to do. And you constantly do them, even though you know they're wrong. You don't want to do them. And they're ruining your life, just like Phil said. Man, I don't want to be doing this. Eventually, you come to this point in your life, you realize, man, my way ain't working. My way ain't working anymore. Man, this life, it sucks. I don't even want to live anymore if this is life. Maybe that's where you're at today. See, Jesus came and he wants to give you abundant life. He came to set people free. He came to seek and save the lost. And he came for you. That's what God's saying to you today. Come by the way of Jesus and you'll be saved. Well, and you'll know the truth and it'll make you free. Does that sound like something you're interested in today? Does that sound like you're here for a purpose? Maybe you came in today and you've had questions about life. Maybe you came in today and you realize God brought you here. God wants to save you. God wants to reach out to you. God wants you to have a relationship with him. See, this isn't about religion. He said on our leaflets, this isn't about a religion. It's about a relationship with God. That's what it's about. It's about you hanging on to God and looking to his word and saying, wow, God is real and he's for me. Isn't that good news? Well, are you ready to come to Jesus today? You may say, why do I need to come to Jesus? Well, because Jesus died for sin, but I'm a good person, you might say. Maybe you're of the I'm a good person category. You know, most people believe they're a good person, that God should just let them in heaven because they're good people. Well, the Bible says opposite of that. It says that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we need a Savior. We need to have our sin forgiven. And that's what Jesus is offering. He doesn't tell you all this bad news and then give you no hope. He tells you good news, that there is hope, that you can be forgiven and you can be restored to life. Right now, you're trying to make life your way. And you're going to find someday that it's miserable. It's empty. And maybe you'll just continue in it in a miserable, empty life. Because that's all you know. And you're not willing to reach out to God who's reaching out to you today. Well, I hope you realize this today, that Jesus did this for you. And if you'd been the only one, he would have went to the cross just for you. If you'd been the only one, he loves you intently. He knows the number of hairs on your head. His thoughts are of you as many as the sands of the sea. That's good news for all of us. But it's really good news for you today who came in here and you don't know him. He wants to restore you into life. And what I'm going to tell you today, what Jesus said in Acts 26:18, he says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So if you're not a Christian today, you realize that Satan has his lies, but Jesus has his ultimate victory. Satan has his destiny. The Bible tells us about it. But you know what? The good news is you can have a destiny, and the destiny is the hope of heaven and eternal life because you reach out today in faith in God. That's what it says right here. Faith, that you reach out in faith, sanctified by faith in me. Today, the call goes out to you. Don't let it be forgotten. Jeff's going to be back with the prayer team in the back at the end of the service. We're going to have a song and different things all during the day. Jeff, who came up here earlier, is going to be in the back. And if you want Jesus today, go back and pray with him. If you want him today, you can run forward now. You can do whatever you want. You can scream, you can shout. If you want Jesus today, receive him today. Don't leave here without him. Don't leave that door without him. Jeff will be in the back to pray with anybody that wants to receive Christ today. This is a call to you, an invitation to receive Christ into your life, to believe upon Jesus, and he's going to give you an abundant life. Well, better than that, you're going to have your sin forgiven, and you're going to be right with God. That's the ultimate victory right there, and you'll have hope. Well, or you can continue hanging on and believing Satan's lies, hanging on to a shred of pig's tooth, and maybe evolution is true, and maybe clubbing is the right way, and it is sort of fun, but you'll find it's empty someday. And someday, like Phil, you'll reach out and say, man, maybe I need to reach to Jesus. That's what I did. I realized my way wasn't working. Maybe I'll try this Christian thing. And started going to church and seeing what God did, and I got saved. And that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to open your eyes from darkness to light that you might see and believe. And I'm going to tell you one more time, that's a call to you sitting here today. Father, we thank you so much for life in your name, that you brought people to hear your word. And we pray today that they would live victoriously in you. And Lord, today that you would just do great things in people's lives today. Give them the faith today to believe in you and hang on to you all the days of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.